Hey, Conspiracy Cast. So we all know that you guys love politics and voting. So we're doing a special little thing that we want you guys to be a part of. We want you to vote for, well, the now conspiring president. So we all watched the presidential debate. We're all equally disappointed in everything that's going on with this country. So we're going to put our, we're going to step up here. So every single person who's ever been on Now Conspiring, everybody from Maria Cine Club Garcia, all the way to some of our most recent guests like CJ Mellon, Will Ashton, and of course, the Now Conspirer. So yeah, we want you guys to vote. And basically, here's the deal. If we were all candidates, like for president, who would you vote for? So it's really that simple. You can see the full list of candidates on johnnegroni.com or in the episode description, however you're watching this. And let us know in the comments of johnnegroni.com or on Facebook who you want to be Now Conspiring / America's president. And we will decide who the winner is next week. Or we'll just keep this going even longer because that is something that we would do. Here's the situation. We recorded an entire podcast. It's amazing. Award-winning quality stuff. Our best question of the week in years, maybe even decades. We talked about everything. We talked about politics. We did show and tell like we do every week. Everybody was on their game. Adonis was funny sometimes. And then we had audio problems. We lost the whole show. Completely not salvageable. So, you know, I had to call in a few favors, and I managed to get somebody else on the show to do a recovery episode. It's going to be a little bit shorter, but we're still going to get to the meat of what you want to hear on Now Conspiring, at least I hope. He's coming back for the first time in a while. Everyone, put your podcast hands together, of course, for one of our favorites, the Now Conspirer. Now Conspirer, welcome back to the show.
Oh. It's good to be here, John. You know, there are times when the quality of a rose is judged by the bud of a cigarette.
That's really interesting Now Conspire, but, you know, we're actually doing an episode. It's you and me, so,
oh, I'm sorry. I didn't really mean to take over there for you, John. This is such short notice, and I've never really conspired as the Now Conspirer with help. But, at least this will dispel the rumors that we're the same person.
Oh, I didn't realize there were rumors to that effect. I know that some people have suspected, you know, professional comedian Sam Noland would perhaps be the Now Conspirer.
No, John, you're wrong. It's all over Twitter and Tumblr and Fark that you and I, because there are certain evidences and theories online. I think BuzzFeed did a whole thing about it. And, yeah, so it's no problem because I always like to wander into the moonlight of the conspiring pale.
That's interesting Now Conspire, but we should probably get moving. You know, we usually like to start the show off with something that relates to you guys, because obviously we're going to talk about Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, the latest Tim Burton film I didn't like. And, you know, we're going to talk about it and talk about why we think it sucks. And, you know, before we do that, we always do a part of the podcast. It's like, hey, we're also like people, like we're relatable. You know, we bring up lots of different things. And, you know, that's something I don't want to lose in this recovery episode.
What do you guys usually talk about, or what did you talk about for the first episode that you didn't salvage for nefarious reasons?
So they weren't nefarious, Now Conspire. Well, we talked about the presidential debate, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton. And it was practically a farce. We had to dump the subject because everyone got uncomfortable. I almost brought up religion. It was really tough. And
that's really, yeah, I would have done the same, changing the subject, because, you know, it's not about politics when you're trying to figure out the mysteries of politics and, you know, who's going to be the president of this whole shindig, the whole club.
I agree. Now conspire, which is probably why we quickly went into show and tell, because there's so many things that we want. You know, we talked about Luke Cage, the latest Marvel Netflix show, and whether or not we liked it. It was a really fun segment. I had a blast. And, you know, people, I really hope that when they listen to this episode, they don't walk away from their headphones saying that was a waste. I don't know what John thinks of Luke Cage. I don't know what jokes Sam made at the expense of superheroes and or technology. So we're going to do that. We're going to talk about those things. What about feedback? Are we going to, you know, answer questions from last week? Of course, Now Conspire. We're not going to miss that. That's happening. But we need to get our feet wet with something relatable, Now Conspire. So I thought, you know, you haven't been on the show that much. Maybe only once. And not everybody really knows you.
That's on purpose. I think that if people got to know me, they wouldn't like me. I've had to say goodbye to many on an airplane in the middle of the night, and then profess my friendship to other people, basic strangers, only to never get that text. Oh, I know which text you're talking about. It's the crucial text that you get after you hang out with somebody for the first time. And you wonder, is this going anywhere? Is this gradually building into a real friendship where I can just show up at this dude's house and just, you know, eat stuff out of his fridge and rearrange, you know, his family portraits? Oh, I've never had a friend like that. I, you know, always on the road. So now conspiring in different locations worldwide. I've never really had someone like that, John, until you came along.
Oh, well, you know, I'll text you about that. But let's go ahead and, you know, get into, I guess, show and tell, because we're losing ground here. So now, Conspirer, you know, I don't know if you really listen to the podcast, but we have this whole segment called Show and Tell. It's really clever and hilarious that, you know, I came up with. And, you know, the idea is that you talk about a show or movie, TV show, book, or anything that you think is really interesting that you'd like to share with the Now Conspiring audience. They're great people, and they just want to hear what we think about lots of different things that we have opinions about. And so we've found that it's a great way to edge people into our reviews.
Oh, I've listened to a couple of episodes, and I wasn't sure what Show and Tell was. I wanted to be on just to talk about it and find out, you know, if I could do a little Show and Tell myself, but I don't think I understood the full meaning.
Oh, what were you going to bring to the show, Now Conspire, when you didn't realize we were doing this recovery episode?
Well, you know, I have this really good Tommy gun that it doesn't fire any bullets, but it's got a nice little lighter at the bottom. And, well, my favorite thing about it is it's got a little sticker with the jealous emoji. Do you know which one that is?
I think I do. The jealous emoji, like he's
looking to the side and kind of smug, like, I don't really care, or oh, whatever. And that's like on the bottom of the Tommy gun. And
it was the Tommy gun built that way, like with the sticker on it?
No, it wasn't, but it was a gift, so I don't know. And I was going to show it to you all, and I understand now that it wouldn't make sense to do a show and tell thing for reals on a podcast, because, well, we can't show anything, and, you know.
I thought you liked mysteries, Now Conspire, so forgive me for assuming that, but no, we're just going to talk about TV shows and movies and things like that. Was there anything that you wanted to share with us that you've watched? I mean, in the episode that wasn't salvageable, Maria talked about Vikings, and Adonis talked about Luke Cage, and one other thing that I don't really care about, and Sam talked about Nosferatu.
Oh, I like Nosferatu because that's from my favorite era of movies.
Oh, like silent, you know, black and white movies?
No. No. Rip-off horror movies that are trying to be something else with different character names, so it's like Dracula. I really like movies like that.
Does it have to just be Dracula in that sense?
Yeah.
That's okay. Well, yeah, so we did talk about Nosferatu. So I'm glad you would have liked that. But no, now Conspire, I mean, I know you're always solving mysteries and, you know, rescuing damsels in distress in noir fashion, but was there anything that you managed to sit down and actually watch this week that you want to share with the audience of Now Conspiring?
Maybe. Well, as you know, John, I live in a time loop where the same day in 1941 gets replayed over and over again. So, well, there's only one channel on our TV. We don't even call it a television in my apartment. It's actually a box set. And there aren't a lot of television shows. You know, you can do the CBS television quiz, and it's pretty terrible. The only show that I like to watch is sometimes they let us watch shows from 10 years in the future, so we can watch I Love Lucy in 1951.
Oh, okay. Well, that's really cool. I Love Lucy is a classic show, and you know, it was so progressive in a lot of different ways, you know, with Lucille Ball and that Cuban guy, I forget his name. So maybe not quite so progressive. Oh yeah, I don't remember his name. Maybe Ricky Martin or something like that. But yeah, I really like I Love Lucy, because when you watch that show, you know, you don't want to love Lucy, because the title is I Love Lucy. And I don't know about you, Now Conspirers, but I like to rebel against people who say, you gotta be in a box, man. You can't just do whatever you're told. So, I'm a big fan, though, of I Love Lucy anyway, which should tell you how great the show is, that even my inner angsty rebelliousness was curbed by that show's just irrelevant charm. And yeah, it's made this time loop a lot more bearable. That's weird, Now Conspire. In fact, you're outside of your time loop right now. You know, I first found you in that dumpster behind Wendy's. And so is that like where the portal is to this time loop that you're trapped in?
Oh, John, you took the words right out of my mouth. And the answer is yes. So yeah, actually, I'm aging as we speak.
Well, that doesn't really make sense, Now Conspire, that you're aging outside of a time loop. Why,
the years are catching up to me.
Yeah, that's the problem. I don't really get, like, that doesn't make sense.
I don't care, because I'm the Now Conspire.
Perfect, okay. So there was nothing else that you watched? Did you watch Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, at least, Now Conspire? Or Luke Cage?
Well, I wasn't going to watch Luke Cage, because I read one of your articles, John, and it said that Luke Cage would have some Black Lives Matter subject material sort of weaved into the narrative subtly. And I looked at that and I said, no. If Marvel's going to get political, then I'm not. I'm not going to watch it then. But then I had a change of heart, because I kept seeing other people like it on social media. So I decided to throw caution to the wind, and I started watching Luke Cage, and I'm a few episodes in. Not as far as Adonis, I hear.
That's right. Adonis has finished the entire season. He really liked it. He said that it gets divisive in episode 7, but I really liked Luke Cage as well. I'm 4 episodes in. It's a very vibrant, you know, rich show. It's not perfect. It's a little slow to start. But I really like what it's going for so far. And, you know, I like that it's not just an action fest, and it's really about these characters in a superhero setting. And, you know, I really like what Marvel's doing by sort of, you know, they did this a little bit with Jessica Jones as well. And it's less that she's some sort of superhero and it's some sort of comic book thing. It's just different. You know, they're taking these genres and they're putting these rich characters into the entire environments that they sort of clash with. And in Luke Cage's case, it's this guy who really is a symbol, you know, whether you wanted to or not, it is intentional. He is a symbol of, you know, these people that, you know, in Black Lives Matter, for example, are kind of purporting as, you know, somebody who can be indestructible. And, you know, he wears the hoodie, of course, that rings of Trayvon Martin, and all that stuff is on purpose to sort of get the messaging of the show across. But at the same time, the message of the show isn't some sort of anti-police brutality thing, although you can definitely read into that. But the show is what the show is. It's a crime drama, you know, that has some, you know, fantastical elements to it, because Luke Cage, of course, is indestructible and bulletproof, and it's one man's journey through this criminal underworld trying to make sense of it and look out for the people he cares about. So for that reason, I really enjoy it, you know, and I hope it's as good as Adonis promises.
Yes, I really enjoy any show that isn't afraid to go noir, get a little bit more seedy, find the underbelly of what makes a criminal a man and what makes a man a criminal. And I like Luke Cage, because he's my kind of guy. He's the kind of guy I'd run into at the club and say, "Hey, you look like a tough guy, and I need an honorable guy on my crew, see?" And he'd say, "No, man, I've got a code."
That's right. Luke Cage does have a code, and he's a very particular person, and he definitely is brought to life in this show in a way that's very interesting.
Oh, well, not that kind of code, John. I was talking about a Groupon code that have...
Oh, I'm sorry now, Conspire. Yes, you know, we got a question this past week if we do ads for anything, and I see that you're trying to do an ad here, and apparently for Groupon, but no, you know, we're not doing any ads. We don't do ads on Now Conspiring, at least not right now. So, you know, Now Conspiring, you can put that aside. It's okay. You're still going to get paid, of course, in, you know, chocolate Frosties from Wendy's. So don't worry about that. We can just stick to Luke Cage.
Oh, well, I'm so embarrassed. You know, I hope this doesn't hurt, you know, the size of Frosty I was going to get. But okay, I really, you know, like I was saying before, you know, Luke Cage has a code. You know, he always seems to have the right code for the Chinese restaurant he likes to go to in those episodes. And he's able to get 10% off. Now, Conspire, you're doing it again. And so I'm going to have to cut you off there.
But that's Luke Cage. I enjoy the show. It's solid B+. You know, go check it out. It's worth binging on Netflix if you have an account. It has some subject material not suitable for children. It's a bit grittier than some of the past. It's about up there with Daredevil and Jessica Jones in terms of adult, you know, content. So, you know, be careful before you watch. And yes, was there anything else in Show and Tell? You know, before we move into Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. I mean, there were other things we talked about, but you know, I also talked about Red Dead Redemption showing up on my Xbox One randomly. So I started playing it.
Oh, you didn't pay for Red... Oh, you had a code for Red Dead Redemption. You were able to get 10% off. Just like...
No, Conspire. That's not what happened. Red Dead Redemption somehow showed up as a downloadable thing on my system. And I just downloaded it for free, apparently. And I've been playing it. It's been a lot of fun. You know, you're free. You know, if you don't have to go to your shift at Wendy's tonight, we can play together, you know, as long as your whole time loop thing doesn't throw off your schedule and you don't wither away and, you know, shrivel and die and all of that.
Oh, well, that's very generous of you, John. I don't think I've ever... You said you would text me?
Oh, well, let's say you can text me. We'll say that.
Okay, that's fine. That'll work.
Okay, well, yeah, let's talk about Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. This is from Tim Burton. And, you know, I'm a little worried about all this because I want to talk about it in the context of how much I didn't like it. And I did a whole rant, you know, when we recorded, and this is the recovery episode. So I don't know if I can just throw that back on here, but I got to say, I really didn't care for this movie. I thought it was very disappointing, and yeah, it sucks. I'm not quite as like fired up as I was before. And, you know, I went into all of these details of how the script, on every level of the movie, except for its production design, is just a failure. And I really believe that it's because Tim Burton is not a very good director. I think he's a great producer, and he's great at production design and visuals and even elements of casting. I mean, for what it's worth, he has discovered a lot of great, you know, actors, even if he has overused them in some of his movies, Johnny Depp and Helen Bonham Carter. But I got to say, you know, besides the movie looking good and being interesting, and, you know, it's based, of course, on Ransom Riggs's series of novels that started back in 2011, it's basically X-Men, Harry Potter. It's basically that young adult book movie mentality of a normal guy or normal teenager shows up at like a, you know, in a magic school or like some like society that he didn't know about, and he learns all of these rules, and it's very clunky, you know. It's like, you know, he has to figure out who the evil people are, and you know, there's oppression and there's really overt themes. And the movie is a bit of a bore because it just throws all of these rules and explanations at you at every turn. And the main character just seems so uninterested in himself. Asa Butterfield plays Jake in this. And it has to be the worst performance I've ever seen from an actor who I believe is very good. And it is a terrible performance. And it just drags the entire thing down. It drags poor Eva Green down, who is tremendous in this movie. She plays Miss Peregrine herself, and she's so into the role, and she's so vamp, and she just, you know, she just sells the idea that she's in this movie and she's in it to give it her all. Everybody else just seems so poorly directed, and I put all the blame on Tim Burton here. I think that he just isn't very good at drawing really good performances out of people unless they're just so good that he can't mess it up. You know, he's one of those directors who won't get in your way, but there's also the flip side that he won't push you. And I say that as speculation, but it's just, he's made movie after movie that's displaying this. And it's just so obvious to me. And yet Burton is seen as some sort of director that, you know, he just gets so much slack.
Wow, I never knew that you weren't a fan of Tim Burton, John. I would have assumed you are because, well, across from us, I see, of course, Jack Skellington on your wall in a poster, and he's kind of doing his little dance.
Yeah, you know, I love Nightmare Before Christmas, and, you know, he didn't direct that movie, he produced it, and I think he's made a couple of great movies. I really enjoyed Batman Returns. I think it's a fantastic, one of the best DC movies. I think that Edward Scissorhands is probably his best movie, period, and I even thought Frankenweenie was okay. But then you have all of these other films, Alice in Wonderland, of course, and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Planet of the Apes. He's had just bad movie after bad movie. I think his most recent bad movie, I guess you could say, is Dark Shadows. And I just have to be honest and say that even though I enjoy his visual style and the little tricks that he can put into filmmaking, I just think that, you know, he just isn't very good with characters. He isn't very good overseeing a script. A lot of Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children is very odd and oddly structured. I didn't really care about any of the characters themselves. And, you know, you can blame some of this on the source material. I haven't read the books, but I've heard that the books are also pretty boring as well.
I've read the books, so, and I always think that the book is better.
Yes, we know, now conspirer. You are a firm believer that the book is always better, even when it's not.
That's right. Even if the movie is a lot better than the book, it's really not. And I can tell you that for a fact, because, John, you always say that Hunger Games, those movies are better than the books.
They are. I'm not going to have this argument with you now, conspire, because it's getting away from the point.
I'm sorry. I'm very passionate about those books and Suzanne Collins and, you know, the fact that she's going to be on a book tour of this coming November.
Oh, hold on now, conspire. I'm going to have to stop you again. We're not promoting anything on Now Conspiring, and I'm not even sure if there really is a Suzanne Collins event coming up at all. So we're just going to pretend that didn't happen. But what did you think about the movie Now Conspire? Did you like Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children?
Well, John, like I said before, the book is always better. And I think that the book is so good that I really love the movie. You know, I love how I was able to turn my brain off. That part was really fun, because then I didn't have to think about anything and realize how flawed the movie was. I could just sit and watch all the problems and sort of just get swept away in how ridiculous, you know, the performances were, of course. And I really enjoyed that none of the characters had personalities outside of their powers. Like when the one character came up and basically was like, "Hey, I'm full of bees." And then that was it. I enjoy that kind of storytelling, you know, where they don't actually tell a story. It's great. And I really, because I'm in a time loop, of course, and there's a time loop in Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
That's right. You know, they're in a time loop, except it's 1943 and you're in 1941.
Yeah, that's true. And it's very difficult being in such a time loop, but I make do. And I enjoy the fact that they don't act like there are any consequences to the fact that they're basically immortal and enslaved because of oppression outside of their time loop. And they're actually not making any steps to stop these villains who are after them, even though if they did, they'd be free. And we've seen them basically be able, like a kid is able to kill these things, and there doesn't seem to be any sort of plan to you know, break out of their protection. It's very dumb, which I really enjoy, because when I'm in my time loop, I also don't think or have any real strategies. So, you know, I was able to relate with the characters very much. And so, also, I'm a big fan of the Star Wars prequels, so I really enjoyed watching Asa Butterfield do his best Anakin Skywalker. It was fantastic. You know, we haven't really seen a terrible performance like that in a while, and it just, I always find it very admirable, and, you know, I'm a big fan. I'm going to have to give this one a big A+.
Wow, that's really high, Now Conspire. Also, your voice, I can tell, like, as you're talking about this, it's starting to change a little bit. You know, you were kind of raspy in the beginning, and now you're kind of sounding weird. I'm not sure what to make of it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just the time loop is messing me up. I got to get back to my dumpster soon. So if we could wrap this whole thing up, that'd be really nice.
I'm really sorry, Now Conspire. I should have been more cognizant of your troublesome, you know, limitations and everything like that. There are other movies, of course, that came out this week. We didn't have a chance to talk about Deepwater Horizon. I haven't caught the movie myself, and, you know, I've heard good things, and, you know, I hopefully we can bring it up on next week's show, but I guess this is a good time to get into feedback. Like I said, it's going to be a short episode, and for me, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, very disappointing. I gave the film a D+, and you can read my full review on johnandgroney.com. I have one thing that I want to let you guys know. I actually have good news. So I have this live show that I do every Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Oh, John, you're starting to promote something? I thought you couldn't do that.
Well, Now Conspire, this is actually my own show. So I can promote it because I'm not paying myself to do it.
Well, you should, John. That's just good capitalism.
Oh, well, you know, I appreciate the advice you're throwing at me, Now Conspire. But I think I'll just make do doing this whole thing. So anyway, my show is called Pixar Tonight. We also call it Pixar Debate, and on some episodes. And basically, it's a live show on Facebook Live. It's a live Facebook Live show on Super News by Movie Pilot. If you want to check that out, you can go to Super News by Movie Pilot on Facebook and like it, and you'll get notified when we come on Wednesdays at 7. I do the show with Kayla Savage, and I've been doing some episodes with Michael Overkill since, you know, she's been out of town. And the most recent episode, I was by myself, and I talked about the new Pixar short that's coming out next year. We learned some info about it. It's called Louie. It looks very interesting. And or Louie or Lou. I think it's just Lou, not Louie. And apparently we didn't learn that much. It's a fun episode. You know, I did a live Q&A, and if you go on there, you can see all the comments. And, you know, it's fun because, you know, I record live, and we had, you know, thousands of people watching and asking questions, and I was able to answer a lot of different things, you know, everything from like what I think about new Pixar movies coming out, different Pixar fan theories and little facts about Pixar, what it was like to go to Pixar and little stories and stuff. It was really fun. I kind of put on my Pixar detective hat, and yeah, I do this every week. And part of that good news is that I'm going to be able to share those videos. So if you don't want to go on Facebook, or you don't have a Facebook and you don't want to watch this, that's totally okay. You know, I recommend you watch it live, because then you can engage and talk to me, and I can, you know, engage with you guys in real time. But if you do just want to watch and leave your own comments after the fact, I'm going to be posting the full videos on my website, johnandgroney.com. It's coming out this week, and you can finally get into some of that content. And I hope you guys enjoy. It's been fun doing those videos and watching it grow. So that's great. Anyway, let's get into feedback.
Oh, yes. Finally.
Oh, you like feedback, Now Conspire. I know you like to do special voices for all of the commenters.
I do. And John, I don't want to step on your toes. You know, I really enjoy, you know, because part of conspiring has to do with conspiring great accents. And I just want people to be transported to another world when they hear my voice.
That's great, Now Conspire. You know, I do this every week myself, and you know, I'm totally fine with you taking the reins here.
Great. I appreciate that, John. So the question of the week, we asked you, you conspires you. How would you describe yourself using three fictional characters? That's right, I listened to this episode, and we talked about characters who, you know, very simply, you know, fictional characters we identify with. And you guys, of course, went to johnagroy.com and let us know your thoughts. R.A.K. said,
I am Kamala Khan / Miss Marvel, both personality-wise and somewhat physically. Ahsoka Tano, Star Wars Clone Wars series, and Sasha from Attack on Titan. Also, as much as I love you guys, what happened to Maria and Kayla? Please tell me nothing happened.
Wow, that's a great question, R.A.K., and good job with your impression, Inspire. She's been on the show. I know for a fact she doesn't talk like that, so... I hope you're not offended, R.A.K. I think Knock and Spire missed that episode. But anyway, I'm also a big fan of Kamala Khan, the newer Miss Marvel. That's a very fun comic series. I've enjoyed every issue I've read. She's very cool. And Ahsoka Tano from Star Wars Clone Wars. I would be interested to know if you enjoy, of course, Rebels, because she is in that as well. And Sasha from Attack on Titan. I didn't recognize when we did the first episode. I had to ask, and I think maybe it was Maria who had to like fill me in on which one Sasha was. Sasha's the one who eats the potatoes, and we all had a kick out of that. R.A.K. Also, everyone misses you. And as for Maria and Kayla, Maria was on this week, and then we lost the episode, so she's around, and Kayla's coming back next week from her, she had some long extended family time, and is returning to California, and the internet California, I should say. So that's going to be awesome. All right, now Conspire, you ready for the next one?
Yes, okay. Mango said,
I would describe myself as Dipper from Gravity Falls, Raven from Teen Titans Go, and Luna from Harry Potter.
Wow, that's okay, Mango. You know, I'm reacting as I reacted the first time. We were very, you know, a lot of people said Dipper from Gravity Falls this week, and you know, we had to like look him up because I'm not very familiar with Dipper or Gravity Falls or any of that stuff. Quick question though, Mango. Do you mean Raven from Teen Titans Go?
I was wondering the same thing, John. That's a good one. I also think the Luna thing is very, that was a good answer for sure. Okay, Neo's ghost said, wait, John has ads now?
That wasn't a very good impression, now Conspire. That sounded a lot like your voice.
It was a shorter one, so I didn't want to, you know, use a really good inflection. You know, and it also wasn't a real answer to the question of the week.
I understand. Okay, that makes sense. Well, Neo's ghost, no, we don't, there's no ads here. You know, now Conspire has been trying to push ads for like 20 minutes now. I'm sorry. It won't happen again. And yes. Okay. What do you have next there, now Conspire?
Oh, well, you just passed me a piece of paper, John, and it says, make joke I made in the first episode because it was really funny. Okay, I'm reading. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, okay, that's funny. Okay, here we go. I think I can do this. Well, this one comes from, and I think that they put their fictional character in the username, too. Is that right, John? Did I say that right?
Yeah, you said it. Yeah, that's perfect.
Adonis's eventual girlfriend is that fictional character. Very good. And they said, I am Gloria, Isabella, and Dolly Dagger. So those are three. And oh, John's passing me another piece of paper. Jimi Hendrix. Oh, okay. Oh, that makes sense. Oh, so yeah. We talked about, apparently, Jimi Hendrix on the show. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We did. We did talk about Jimi Hendrix. Good job, now Conspire. Basically, Sam basically talked about how basically nobody seems in his school seems to know who Jimi Hendrix is. And he was tickled by the inclusion of these Jimi Hendrix songs as the answers to Adonis's eventual girlfriend. So that was very good.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. This next one is Charles Bronson's harmonica. And it says,
everyone always talks about that Bronson guy, but does anyone ever think to congratulate me?
You know, that was really good, Knock Inspired, because you sounded like a harmonica. I don't know if you sounded like, oh, like Charles Bronson's harmonica. Okay, yeah, that's, I'm sorry. I'm just doing my best guess. I never met the guy. And that was a great comment. Got a lot of laughs in the episode that we didn't salvage. Jigsaw Puzzle said, okay, I think I can do this. All right.
I would be Dipper from Gravity Falls, Peter Parker, no powers, and Barry Allen, also without powers.
Wow, okay, so there's a lot to unpack there, Jigsaw Puzzle. So another Dipper, Sam made the joke, double Dipper, that was funny. And yeah, Peter Parker and Barry Allen without powers, it's very specific. When you say Now Conspire?
I'd say not specific enough. But I like the answer to this question anyway. It's hilarious. Okay, Tonio0064 said,
Doctor Who, Dipper Pines, Doraemon.
That's right. And we talked about how Doraemon was kind of like a creepy looking cat. And, you know, I think it's interesting that he said Doctor Who.
Really? Well, which doctor is it?
Oh, okay, Knock Inspired. You're trying to join in some of the hilarity and fun. Well, nice try. You know, maybe one of these days when you show up to Knock Inspiring, you can engage with the whole cast.
Well, I don't know if I could do all of that. I'd like to contribute from afar.
We know, Knock Inspired, and we appreciate everything that you've done, I guess. So what's next?
Okay, well, Katie said, I would have to say that I am Rapunzel.
Knuckles Pryor, you're not doing a voice for Katie? Why is that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't think of another one. I'm having trouble coming up with... I'm so nervous. I've never actually talked to somebody this long while they realized I was there. Usually people aren't at the dumpster for that long, and, you know, when they feed me. And so this is the longest interaction I've had in probably 10 years.
Wow, that's okay. Well, you know, that Wendy's has been around for a while, so. Well, you're doing great now, Conspire. I'm really proud. But, you know, I feel like Katie would be very disappointed if you didn't do a special little voice for her.
Oh, you're right. Okay, I can do this then. That's fine.
I would have to say that I am Rapunzel.
Well, hold on now, Conspire. That's really bad. I don't like that, and it's just, you sound really weird. You sound like you're not giving it your all.
Oh, you're probably right. I kind of am phoning it in at this point, but okay, I can do this. I can totally do this. Here we go.
I would have to say that I am Rapunzel.
That's the same voice, now, Conspire. You're not doing anything here.
Okay, just shut up, John. I can do this. I promise. I needed a second, okay? Okay, here we go. You're the now, Conspire. You can do this. Okay, Katie said,
I would have to say that I am Rapunzel from Tangled, Hermione from Deathly Hallows, and Steven from Steven Universe. Also, John, don't be crude. This is a family podcast. SMH.
Okay, that was okay. Now Conspire. I mean, that was fine. It wasn't one of your better ones, but, you know, I think that was good. We all know Katie is a big fan of Adonis, so no wonder she's getting on my case.
Oh, I've noticed that. Yeah, I think Katie and Adonis, you know, even though they've never met, they seem to be really good friends, and that's kind of weird, and, you know, we should probably watch out for that because, you know, internet, you know, friendships are just very sticky situations, and so...
Well, Knuckle Spire, how would you know about that from inside the dumpster outside of a Wendy's?
Oh, well, you know, I'm in a dumpster, but I still get cell service, and so I've had my fair share of disappointments, you know, and people who say that they're going to come through, and, you know...
Oh, are those the McDonald's dumpster folks from across the street?
KFC. Anyway, there's Sergio Prime / Ultimate who said, here we go.
I would be Roger Rabbit, Chandler from Friends, and Miles Hollingsworth from Degrassi.
Yeah, I remember talking about these ones too. You know, we talked about Chandler from Friends being the character that I probably identify with most on that show, who would you say that you identify the most with on Friends, now Conspire?
Well, you know that old guy who lives not far from that, or like above them or below them? I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah, he uses the broom, or they use the broom.
Yeah, and he dies. That's the one I identify with the most.
It's really morbid, now Conspire. I think we should just move on to what's coming soon to theaters, and then we'll wrap up the show. You know, thank you so much, by the way, for those of you guys who've been sticking with us. And I apologize, we didn't really get to talk that much about, you know, any of this stuff, but especially with, you know, what's coming soon. We spent a lot of time this past week talking about these movies, and we won't be able to do that. But we talked about, of course, The Girl on the Train is coming out. This is directed by Tate Taylor, and it's based on the book by Paula Hawkins, and it's her debut novel. And I'm not really much looking forward to it. I'm going to watch it because I really love Emily Blunt. She's in this one in a starring role. Budget Jennifer Lawrence, of course, is in this, is Haley Bennett, and Justin Theroux and Rebecca Ferguson. It's a great cast. I really want to see it. I mean, look, we have Edgar Ramirez and Allison Janney and Luke Evans and Lisa Kudrow. It's kind of like a, you know, crime thriller thing. It seems a lot like Gone Girl. So you guys can check that out. The Birth of the Nation is coming out, of course, from Fox Searchlight Pictures. And this is the movie about Nat Turner's rebellion. It's sort of like a remake of the movie that came out in the 19-teens, kind of a racist movie. You know, I'm not just saying that too, like, you can tell, like, if you watch that movie, it's just, yeah, it's like playing Bioshock Infinite. Nate Parker is the director. He also wrote the screenplay and stars in the movie, and it's going to be interesting watching this one, considering just how his own, like, you know, personal controversy of the year is sort of, like, coinciding with the release of this movie. He's been hit with allegations, you know, criminal allegations, and so very interesting to see how this one turns out. It got some good buzz from Sundance. It also got some mixed reactions. And it's looking like it's an Oscar contender for sure. The movie also stars Armie Hammer, Aja, Naomi King, Jackie Earl Haley, Penelope Ann Miller, Gabrielle Union, Mark Boone Jr., and Coleman Domingo. From Steve Carr, the director of Daddy Daycare, or was it Daddy Daycare or Dr. Doolittle, one of those movies. Middle School, The Worst Years of My Life from CBS Films and Lionsgate. Yeah, not really sure how this happened. He's doing that movie, and that's coming out soon, this week, I mean. And Voyage of Time is a special IMAX documentary that's coming out this week from Terrence Malick. And it's narrated by Brad Pitt in the IMAX version. And there's also like a 3.5 millimeter version for like standard theaters. And that one's narrated by Cate Blanchett. We talked a lot about this in the first, when we were recording earlier, and we were trying to figure out like what in the world this movie really is. I'm not a big Terrence Malick fan personally. I do like documentaries though. So this one is a kind of about how the universe is like created. So it's interesting, or it looks interesting at least. Probably want to check it out. Maybe his style leans better to documentaries. You know, we talked about some of his movies, and you know, I respect him as a filmmaker, but he's definitely not one of my favorites.
I really want to check that one out because, well, I'm a big fan of anybody named Terrence, because,
well, Terrence, that seems a very arbitrary thing, now Conspire. What is it that you like so much about the name Terrence?
Oh, well, my favorite Batman series, well, you know, Batman Beyond, because it reminds me so much of my life, you know, in this parking lot. And I just really enjoy the style, the neo-noir, and the main character is named Terrence. That's right, Terry McGinnis.
Very interesting. Well, you know, I don't know if that'll translate at all to, you know, the movie actually being good, but I hope it does for your sake, Now Conspire. And that'll do it for our episode of Now Conspiring. Thank you so much for listening. So sorry that we couldn't give you the full Now Conspiring experience this week.
Hey, what do you mean, John? How dare you? This wasn't the Now Conspiring for everybody, but it was Now Conspiring for the people who deserve it.
I don't think your quote makes any sense, Now Conspire, but, you know, I didn't mean any offense. It's just that it's a shorter episode, not as much banter going on, of course, because you're kind of difficult to talk to. But, you know, you've done a great job. I'm really glad that you came on. And, you know, it's fun because you can feel some theories maybe into who you really are, because I know people really like to speculate about who's the Now Conspire. There are a lot of candidates under suspicion. I think Maria's sister usually tops the polls, And I hope that inside joke gets to last a little bit longer. So thanks again for coming, now, Conspire. Thanks for helping me out and getting me out of this jam.
You know, it's not a problem, John. I guess I would never tell you to your face, but, well, you're really bad at hosting this podcast, so I would do anything to sort of, you know, undermine you.
That's okay. I appreciate that, now, Conspire. You're full of honesty and truth and goodness, so I appreciate your candid response. So, all right, well, that'll do it for the show this week. We'll see you again next time, hopefully with everybody on board. From the Internet, California, I'm John Agroni.
From the inside of a paper bag filled with Baconator crumbs, I'm the Now Conspire.
See you next time.